You're listening to Greater LA. It's KCRW's show that connects you to the people and the places of Southern California. Hey there, I'm Steve Chiotakis. It is Election Day. It is You Have a Say in Your Community and Country Day. And well, so far, it's been pretty quiet. In the first few hours of voting this morning, things went smoothly at LA County's voting centers. Voters are in and out. No significant delays. But Dean Logan, LA County Registrar Recorder, warns, if you haven't voted yet today, there's a possibility of longer wait times this evening. KCRW reporter Kaylee Wells is with us right now. She's in Koreatown outside the voting center at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church. This is on Wilshire and Berendo. Kaylee, what are you seeing right now?
Well, no lines. Then that's kind of been the anthem that I've seen today. I've been to four places so far. By this point, when I was doing this in March, everywhere I went, there was a 45-minute, one-hour wait. Now I'm having no trouble parking. I'm literally parked right outside of the entrance. Poll workers all seem surprised, but really happy with how smoothly it's going here and everywhere else I've been so far.
12 million, more than 12 million votes cast already in California, early voting that have been mailed in, not to mention the voting centers that have been open all up and down the state as well. So I would imagine it's a lot quieter than what you saw back in March. I want to talk more about where you've been today. So we heard the quiet at the beginning of the show. Where was that and where else have you been?
So that was at a church kind of on the eastern side of Baldwin Hills right before you hit Leimert Park. Again, like I said, very, very quiet, pulled right up to the front. There was free parking in the church. I spoke with a whole family, brothers Corey and Chris Sled. They came out with their mom, Lori Hicks Sled, who lives in Baldwin Hills. Chris actually said that he really wanted to, and this is true of a lot of people I've spoken with today, he wanted to vote in person, just found that that was what he could trust the most, and he found that it took less than 5 minutes for him.
I, one, am not keen on the USPS system at the moment. I didn't want to mail anything in, and I really just, because I don't vote every day, it's not an everyday occurrence, I like the traditional way of going in person, getting my sticker, all of that kind of stuff, doing it in person as opposed to dropping it off in the mail.
And then his mom, Lori Hicksled, she said that it was nice to just have time to prepare ahead and then to vote on all the state propositions. She's actually really well versed in all of the props that are happening. So Prop 21 was one she cared about. That's the one that would allow California cities to expand rent control. She voted no on that and on Prop 22, which would exempt companies that rely on contract workers from paying certain benefits. That's another really important prop that people are worried about here in California.
It's probably not a very popular opinion, but I voted no against rent control because from an economic standpoint, it causes more housing crisis. And then on the Uber Lyft Initiative 22, I believe, I think that the drivers really should have all benefits covered, including severance, including health care, including unemployment insurance and all that to cover them and work for a guaranteed at least minimum wage.
I also want to mention all three of them are very excited about the presidential race. They're all supporters of Biden. Lori Hicksled actually called him President Biden. That's how confident she is that he's going to win. They said after a lot of the systemic racism issues that we've been seeing recently, and they said the lack of support that they felt from their president, that they are very confidently voting for Biden this time around.
You need look no further, though, than 2016, where there were a lot of magazine covers with Madam President on the cover, and know that anything can happen in an election year, as you know, Kaylee. Earlier this morning, you visited a few polling places in Beverly Hills. How are things over there?
Same kind of vibe. Not a lot of people. My first stop was at the Beverly Hills Hilton Hotel. There were, I think, maybe two people total that went through there. So I had to divert, went to the City Hall. Again, no lines, but this was earlier in the morning. But election officials say it's a good sign because this isn't a lack of participation. Before this morning, for example, at City Hall, 4,500 people have already voted early there, which is more than the total number of people that voted there in 2016. So that's exactly the kind of thing that they want to see, a slow trickle to show that people are participating, but they started voting early, and so we're not seeing any of those terrible lines that you can remember in March. The other big noticeable thing in Beverly Hills, and you can see it pretty much as soon as you cross the border into the city, lot of law enforcement, lot of privately hired security guards, and I've been told that they also hired the Santa Paula SWAT team to come over later because there's been a lot of pro-Trump rallies, some counter-protesters, so they are prepared just in case, and you can feel it even now.
And we've certainly heard about Beverly Hills, especially on Rodeo Drive, where they've closed Rodeo Drive and boarded up many of the shops along the avenue there, just in case there is some sort of civil unrest as the election is concerned. KCRW's Kaylee Wells, who is working the election beat for us. Kaylee, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Back to it with Greater LA on KCRW. Last day of the election, of course. If you haven't voted yet, get out there and do it. Even if you're not registered, you can register at the vote center when you cast your vote today. And you know, Election Day seems like a good time for a little political history. California is bright blue, no doubt, these days, but it wasn't always that way. The Golden State gave the country Earl Warren and Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan. In fact, over the last century, most of the governors here, like Warren and Reagan, were Republicans. These days, though, almost as many Californians are registered decline to state as are registered Republican. And the grand old party has failed to get even one of its members elected to a statewide office in more than a decade. As of today, of 53 seats in the United States House of Representatives, only 7 belong to Republicans. Both senators are Democrats. So how did we get here? Why has California shifted so hard to the left and away from the Republican Party? Roberto Suro is a professor of public policy and journalism over at USC. Welcome, sir.
Well, it's good to be with you.
Jack Pitney is a professor of American politics at Claremont McKenna College and a former Republican strategist. Jack, welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.
I'll start with you, Jack, as a former strategist for the GOP. Why do you think California's moved so far, so fast away from the Republican Party? What's happened over the years?
Well, it's a convergence of several things. First, and most obviously, was Prop 187. In the short run, it did boost the Republican vote in 1994. But in the long run, it helped motivate a huge mobilization of Latino voters. And those voters have voted heavily against the Republicans. But that's not all. Other things were going on at the same time. During the 1990s, we had the end of the Cold War, and the defense industry that had previously been an economic and political base for the Republican Party went into decline. Those jobs went away, and so did those Republican votes. The state's economy shifted from a manufacturing to a service economy, and the service workers tended to vote Democratic as well. Lots of other things happened, but those are the big structural changes that led to the party's decline.
Roberto, you heard Jack mention Prop 187 in the mid-90s. That was a big thing, obviously. Pete Wilson, then governor, Republican, was all for it, campaigned for it. I know immigration and shifting demographics, particularly the growing number of Latino voters in the state, have played a role in the shift. How significant do you think that's been?
I mean, one way of trying to measure the significance is to put the 1994 election and 187 in a bit of context. So go back 2 years earlier to 1992. Bill Clinton took the state, breaking a Republican streak in presidential elections that dated back to 1968. Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein were both elected. First time two women anywhere. First time both Senate seats in California were held by Democrats since 1976. 30 of what was then 52 seats in the House of Representatives were held by Democrats, and Democrats held solid majorities in both houses of the legislature. So the shift began before Prop 187. The backlash among Latino voters was certainly significant. It's been documented. It's been written about. A lot of people came into politics. There was a lot of energy. But you also had demographic change among Latinos, in part due to the legalization that was enacted by Congress in 1986. So in the 1990s, there were a very large number of Latinos who gained first residency and then citizenship. And there were big citizenship drives in California in the mid-1990s that added to the Latino share of the electorate. And then, too, there were the other structural factors. Another one, particularly among white, non-college-educated workers, large out-migration to Arizona, Nevada, Texas, that changed the face of the electorate.
Jack, do you think, I mean, I remember what Ronald Reagan used to say, where, you know, he was a former Democrat, and he said, you know, I didn't leave the Democratic Party, the Democratic Party left me. And I wonder if that can be said about the Republican Party. Did California leave the Republican Party, or did the Republican Party leave California? I mean, did the GOP itself change?
Yes, all of the above. As we discussed, California has been changing. It was never as solidly red as the presidential results might suggest. Democrats controlled the state legislature between the late 1960s and, except for a very, very narrow period during the 1990s, ever since then. We had a Democratic senator, Alan Cranston. You know, we had the two terms of Jerry Brown. But what has happened since the 1990s is a shift in the Republican Party toward the South, and particularly the growing influence of evangelical Christians. Well, here in California, there are evangelical Christians, of course, but they're not nearly as numerous or as influential as they are in other states. The Republican Party started sounding more like Texas than California, and that wasn't particularly appealing in this state. And, you know, Republicans were able to elect Schwarzenegger, but Schwarzenegger himself said, "We're dying at the box office."
Yeah, we remember those days. And again, there was another movie star, an actor who, you know, had a lot of fame. So he had that going for him as well. Roberto, not all Latinos, by the way, vote Democratic, right?
So, I mean, roughly speaking, in California, Democrats could have been able to count on at least 2/3 of the Latino vote and more. But even among Democratic Latinos, there are real differences. We saw this very vividly in 2016 with Hillary Clinton's support, you know, in places like the San Gabriel Valley, middle-aged, middle-class, middle-of-the-road Mexican-Americans are significantly more conservative on social issues, on law and order, on support for the military. Then what we're seeing now is a younger population, as with the Democratic Party in general, younger Latinos that are more progressive, more liberal, and that supported Bernie Sanders in both of the two primary elections among Democrats. So there are significant differences, and there is still, you know, a quarter of the electorate, at least maybe 30%, that is reliably Republican. And evangelicals are certainly an important part of that sector of the Latino electorate, both in California and across the country.
How do you explain that, though, when you look at some of the words and the rhetoric that President Trump in the last 4 years has been saying? Well, heck, since his first campaign for president in 2016, that he's been saying, calling some Mexicans coming, you know, illegally into the country as rapists and you know, not very good people, and the rhetoric that you've heard from the White House in the past 4 years. How do you explain that somebody who is of Latino origin saying, okay, maybe it's just tough talk?
Well, I mean, you have to remember that the electorate is very different than the population as a whole. And the electorate in California, the Latino electorate in California, substantially includes many, many people who trace their immigrant origins are back to the early 20th century. Their grandparents, great-grandparents were from Mexico, and these are English-speaking people whose connection to Mexico is more distant. The other fact that you have to remember about Mexican immigrants in the United States is that the one thing they all have in common is that they left Mexico. So the assumption that there is this sort of very fundamental tie to Mexico and to the immigrant experience is an assumption that isn't always borne out. And this year, as in every other year, going back to, you know, the earliest good polling we have of the Hispanic electorate, economic issues, access to healthcare, access to good education rank higher than immigration policy. And this is true of the Latino electorate nationally. And the polling this year suggests that Trump will hold about the same share of the Latino electorate nationally as he did in 16. And in 16, he had about the same share that every Republican candidate has had all the way back to John McCain in 2008, somewhere between 27-29%, maybe 30% of the Latino electorate nationally.
Jack Pitney, do you see the California Republican Party trying to regain, shifting tactics to regain some of its lost territory here in California?
I think if you speak privately to a lot of leading Republicans in California, they know what they need to do. The problem is that they don't pick the candidates. The voters pick the candidates. We do have a top two primary system. The idea behind it, and Schwarzenegger was a major proponent of it, was to let everybody vote in the primary, and moderate Republicans would be able to win nominations by getting support from Democrats and independents. In fact, very often the top two primary has produced similar results to the closed primary, because the parties tend to be siloed. Republicans vote for Republicans, Democrats for Democrats. And so, they understand that somebody like a Schwarzenegger would probably have more appeal than somebody who's on the hard right. But that's not the kind of folks who often win nominations in the state. And that's a very, very difficult problem for the Republicans to solve.
Jack Pitney, a professor of American politics over at Claremont McKenna College, former Republican strategist. Roberto Serro, professor of public policy and journalism at USC. On this election day, thanks for taking time out, both of you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Onward now with Greater LA on KCRW, and now to news that has nothing to do with the election. Well, at least this election. Standing three stories at the corner of Sunset and Western in Hollywood is a building that was years, years in the making. What is now a large, brightly lit Target store started as a proposal more than a decade ago. Construction would begin on the site in 2012, only to be stopped. A cold shell of a building would sit empty for years before finally crossing the finish line. Man, this store has a story, and still not everyone in the neighborhood is happy. Alyssa Walker is urbanism editor at Curbed and a regular contributor here at Greater LA. She just went to check it out for the first time ever. Hey, Alyssa.
Hi, Steve.
I love talking about going to a Target store. on the show for 5 minutes. So this is one of my, especially on a day of an election where we're
so
all
it's
sort
a good
of,
distraction. Yes.
Right. We're sweating a little bit. We don't know what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. So let's talk about the target, which, by the way, has been on your radar for a long, long time. When did you first hear about it?
Well, I actually remember reading about it on the publication I would later go to work at on Curbed. There was one of those, what's coming to your neighborhood post in 2007, which had this, you know, very optimistic rendering of this gorgeous, shiny Target in what had been a strip mall that had been closed. And it was very exciting for me because I lived in the neighborhood.
This one has been years in the making, as I mentioned. You went in, checked it out. Talk about this more than a dozen year wait for this building and what happened over the course of those years.
You know, like you said, it was this empty construction site for years, for literally 6 years. And so I think just the anticipation of people wondering, why is that still not finished? What's the story here? It had become like a legend, not just in L.A. I think people in other places even knew about this Target, which is really funny. And so going there, I mean, yes, like it, you know, I walked in. I was like, oh, I can't believe I'm actually like walking into this place that I've seen for so long, and ended up kind of moving a little bit farther away. I don't even live within walking distance of it anymore. But what was interesting is this Target is not really how they build Targets anymore. On the same day that they opened this Target, they opened five other Targets in Southern California, and they're all those very small format Target stores, the city Targets, right, that are on the, kind of on the bottom floor of a bigger building, and they're, you know, they have what you need, but not everything that you need. And that one of those has opened even closer to our house in the time that this was built, in about 2 years.
Well, this Target has been in place, the plans for it anyway, over the course of three presidential administrations. There were a lot of city restrictions, right, is what was going on, and approvals, why it sat empty for so long.
Right. I mean, so what happened was the plan came up to do this. City Council said it was okay to do it. And then a group of neighborhood organizations, which may just be one person, we're not sure, got together with a lawyer who often litigated against these very large developments that were going up in Hollywood at the time. But this was like, you know, an epic battle. So there was one battle that was like, it's too tall for the zoning that the neighborhood had set up. It was, we weren't supposed to build buildings taller than 35 feet. This was proposed for 74 feet. And then they decided they would officially make an exception to let it be taller than it was supposed to be. And then another lawsuit was mad that the exception had been made to make the exception for it to be taller than it should have been. But at the whole time this was going on, the building stayed kind of the same type of building, this like retail store, which is actually only on the third floor and two floors of parking. And at one point there was a proposal to kind of tweak the building and change it and put 150 units of housing on top of it. That didn't happen. And so it's a really interesting story too of like, yes, this finally got done all these years later, but is it really anything different than the strip mall that it replaced? It's just three stories high, but the store is on top instead of on the bottom.
And while it was sitting empty there on the corner of Sunset and Western, it sort of took on a persona of its own, right? It acquired names, right? And it acquired social media status. Talk about that.
Yes. Yes. The nickname Target Husk stuck because it was this husk of a building. And what was so kind of magical about this time was a Twitter account popped up that was anonymous. It remained anonymous for many years, was very funny. And that person, Juliet Bennett Ryland, she outed herself on Halloween right as she said she was going into her human form. So it was very funny just to see this whole thing play out, you know, a week after the store opened. And now I guess Target Husk is just a regular Target.
And so people who go into that Target, maybe if they're new to the neighborhood, will not know anything about the history of this building that took so long to open up.
We have to keep the legacy alive. And that's why I dressed up as this Target Husk for Halloween, because I really want people to remember all those years where that sidewalk was closed off. It was under construction for so many years, 6 years, and we had no sidewalk to walk on. So at least go there and enjoy the very wonderfully freshly paved sidewalk in front of the former Target Husk.
Alyssa Walker, urbanism editor over at Curbed. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Only as they say in L.A. That's going to do it for us today. Stay with KCRW throughout the day and into tonight for the latest election coverage, local reports from all over the Southland, and national reporting from NPR through tonight and, by the way, as long as it takes. Tomorrow, we'll be back with a special hour-long Greater L.A. and analysis of everything we're seeing today, how the voting went, how the counting's going, what the votes mean for you. By the way, if you see voting irregularities, voter suppression, call this number. It's toll-free, 866-OUR-VOTE, O-U-R-V-O-T-E, or the Secretary of State's office, 800-345-VOTE. Jenna Cagle, Angel Carrera, Sarah Fay, Sonia Geis, Amy Tom, Mario Diaz, Phil Richards, Ray Guarna, Mario Saavedra, Christine Comito, and Christian Bordall made the show happen today. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Get out there and vote if you can. Have a nice day.